This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Little Phil to start the show.
Yes, it is.
This is the latest controversy out of the Trump campaign. I like when Mike Tyson sung it in that...
The Hangover?
Yeah. So here's the deal. President Trump's campaign was pumping this song at a Des Moines, if you will, Iowa rally. And there wasn't anybody wearing face masks. And people are saying it's poor taste to play this
song. Well, it doesn't matter.
He
got hit with a cease and desist an hour ago.
With this?
Yep.
So the song choice, this is what some people are saying. I find it insane. The song choice comes as COVID is you know, ravaging the state. And Iowa has the fourth highest COVID infection in the U.S. And some people are saying, oh, my gosh, how can Donald Trump come out to this song in the air tonight? Are they trying to say that COVID is in the air tonight?
I don't think so. I think they're just playing a song.
With everything that Trump has said over the last 4 years, this is what you're going to pick him on?
Well, today. Today. I mean, you know, this moment. Don't worry. They'll get something else in a few hours.
I don't get it.
I don't. Well, you got to find something with Trump.
No, you don't.
No, you do.
No, you don't.
If you're the, no.
You don't have to try hard at all. This is trying hard.
So, no, but you have to read everything you read into.
Well, that's true. Everything you do read into, but sometimes he doesn't really, he doesn't.
Now, did he come out to this or was it just playing before?
It doesn't matter.
Like, you got some guy that you're paying $200 to DJ. He brings his little, you know, stuff. And he's like, I got 8 songs that these people would like. Here's Phil Collins.
Man, I understand that there are Trump haters out there. This might be the dumbest thing in 4 years that people have picked on Donald Trump for.
And they try hard.
And they do try hard. But there are a lot of times where...
He'll give you material. You don't have to work hard.
He'll give you, material right out of the gate. Before we take our first break, he'll say something. We could come back with it and say, oh, my gosh, listen to what Trump said.
I have been a big fan of the song, actually.
Oh, my gosh. What is the matter with you?
Just
we are not super best friends anymore.
See?
This
Thank
is
you.
Awful.
Pablo's like at him either, right? You're not into
Becky
this.
Becky Lynn. Come on. I mean, that's a classic.
I love that song.
I love it.
I mean, the DMX version, the remix was good.
There you go. That was pretty good.
Oh, geez.
No. Don't you always want to sing into those old-style fans you used to have, you know, that would spin around in your room? Because that's what it sounds like. I can feel.
So, no more of this song at a Trump rally. Phil Collins put the kibosh on it.
Minus, was it Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American.
He's fine with it.
Yeah, well, he's fine with any of his music.
Right.
Kid Rock's totally cool. Ted Nugent's cool. Right. The Village People are fine with it. They don't care. They're like, look, you know, sing our songs. We don't care.
Hmm.
We're getting paid.
Hmm.
We're the Village People. We're not in a position to say no at this point, all right?
19 days until the election, and this is what they're trying to hang on Donald Trump. Don't play in the air tonight because COVID is in the air. It's just so nasty for you to play something like that.
3 hours till competing town halls.
So it's weird, man, right? We're supposed to have a debate tonight. Can't. And now Biden will be in some arena. ABC is going to air it. Trump will be in another arena somewhere else. NBC is going to air it. So, and it's all at the same time. By the way, at 5 o'clock, we're going to give you some excerpts of what both men are saying throughout the 5 o'clock hour. It's just, it's odd. There's a lot of controversy about, well, why did NBC basically book Donald Trump for the same exact time as Joe Biden? Do you have a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it either.
I don't really care.
Listen, like, all right, what's the average, like, is this how it's going to go? If you like Donald Trump, you're going to watch Donald Trump. If you like Joe Biden, you're going to watch Joe Biden. I think, I mean, so far, and it's crazy to say this, so far, Boring Joe Biden has beaten Donald Trump in the ratings.
I don't think that'll happen tonight.
His Democratic National Convention
was more
watched.
Yeah, but the Democratic National Convention was probably going to be more watched. Could people want to see if he's all there? And tonight, I think that Trump won't care about the questions, and he sure in the heck won't care about the answers. He's going to care tomorrow, did my ratings beat him? That's all he cares about.
Yeah.
And NBC did it because he's got a great relationship with NBC. That's where the Apprentice was.
Yeah.
And they called up and they wanted to get their opportunity. And by the way, it's a business. If he called us today and said, I want to spend 2 hours on the phone with Gatos and Chad, he's getting it.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Right. I don't think we say yes for 2 hours with Biden.
Oh, absolutely. Not Biden.
I'd go 10
no,
minutes.
10 minutes.
That's about it.
10 minutes.
That's about it. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll figure out what they're both going to do. Donald Trump, if tomorrow he wins in the ratings, it doesn't win you an election.
No.
So who cares who wins in the ratings? When it comes to Trump versus Biden tonight, the only person that cares is Donald Trump. And to be honest, this might be the last victory he gets if you keep looking at poll numbers.
Yeah.
So
could be it.
A lot of people, you know, are looking at this election and a lot of people are going to vote. And that's bad for Trump. If you've got all these people out in all these lines.
17 million people voted. Yesterday, we started at 10 million when this show started.
Right.
We were at 3 million by the time the show ended, 13 million. And today, we're about 17 plus million.
Who do you think they're voting for? I saw one story that said 70% of the votes already gone to Biden early.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not. No, you can't.
I talked to somebody today who is very close to the president, who speaks to him on a daily basis.
Ivanka?
No.
Donald Jr.?
No. Spicy Spicerson.
Hey, Sean Spicer.
And
who really got a bad rap.
He did. And Spice told me that...
Look at you, you name dropper. You don't hear me do that. Ludicrous. Close personal
Spice
friend.
Said Trump really blew it with COVID.
Duh.
So
really?
He blew it with COVID. And he said, you know, everybody thinks, though, that Trump feels like he's got to make sure that everybody who follows him, everything he does is for them. Meaning... Everything he does is like, I got to show them I'm strong. I can't show empathy. They don't want that. They'll turn on me. And that's part of painting yourself into a corner, right? Of not being, you paint yourself into a corner. And I think, to be honest with him, I understand. I think if he showed too much empathy and got too non-Trumpian, I think they'd turn on him as fast as anybody. I think he's built that.
Maybe. I mean, but you heard in Becky Lynn's newscast, Becky Lynn, I was listening to the numbers with Mark Kelly against Martha McSally.
Mm-hmm. It's less is more.
And like, it seemed in the last, according to experts, in the last debate, their only debate, I think, I don't know, I think they had one debate, that Martha McSally kind of shored up the base a little bit, but completely turned off independents. And so it's a fine line you have to walk. And if you want to look at, like, the independent vote... In Arizona, Mark Kelly's up 34% with independents over Martha McSally. So she fell into the same thing that Donald Trump did.
But you're not coming back. And
you're not going to come back from that. You're going to lose an election. If the polls are right, it's going to be a blue wave in Arizona. And we've never really seen everybody win that's a Democrat. We've seen it here and there the last few elections. But this looks like it's going to be a lot different. It looks like it could be Biden and Kelly. Imagine that. And the last time a Democrat won Arizona, Bill Clinton, 1996, ran against Bob Dole. Nobody voted for Bob Dole.
Nobody voted for
Nobody
Bob
Dole. Bob
Dole didn't vote for Bob Dole.
No, he did not.
He's still alive, by the way.
Yes, he is. Yeah. He's in some family and health, though.
Yeah, he's 90-something.
Yeah,
he's not looked well for a while.
No.
But at the end of the day, I asked Sean. I said, Sean
Spicer.
I said, bro.
You called him bro?
I did. I said, bro.
No, you did not.
Yeah. And he started laughing. He goes, be honest with me.
Yeah.
Trump knows he's in a lot of trouble. And he says, yes.
Yeah, but do you think Spicer speaks with Trump?
Every single day.
You believe that, really?
Oh, yeah. He says, okay, I talked to him. He goes, we text, we talk. Yeah.
All right. I didn't know that they were that close.
Yeah. They were very close. They were close. You know, he's one of the few that has left and never turned on the president. So that's why he's got a relationship.
He was in the wrong job.
Everybody's in the wrong job in that one, minus McEnany.
Because
she can take it.
She's good.
You know, but it's, you know, we were joking off the air. I said, dude, how hard is it, man? You're tweeting, and then as, you know, you're talking, he's tweeting, and you guys are going the other direction.
And you're just like.
He still said Dancing with the Stars was 10 times harder.
than being with the president.
He said, it beat my body up. I lost 35 pounds. And he goes, the scrutiny of the American people, much different in a world of pop culture than politics.
Yeah. Well, he's tied to Trump. And
well, just
he was unlikable from the very beginning because he was all disheveled when they threw him out there and said, hey, tell everybody that Obama's crowd was smaller than Trump's crowd, and they've got the picture side by side, and it's the eye test, and you're like, dude, that wasn't the case. And so he had no chance.
Yeah.
And then him going on Dancing with the Stars made him a little bit more likable. But yeah, I don't know if we're seeing, you know, all these campaign rallies that Trump is doing, are these farewell shows?
Are they farewell shows, or are they shows to be? Because let me tell you something. You think it's bad now? Wait till he's unhinged and unfiltered.
It won't matter if he's not the president.
To go nationwide. Still that base, though. That base won't, you know. I mean, you're still going to have, even if Trump wins, there's still going to be 60 million people that voted for him.
Of course.
So good luck with trying to unite the country. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to unite the country. You're going to have to... Well, you're going to have to bore us to death. And luckily, we got the guy for the job.
He might be the
I have the guy for the job.
Coming up next, will Arizona have results on election night? Plus, Kathy Hoffman, Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We're going to ask her about the 21 Phoenix area schools that have COVID-19. Or what does that mean? Are we close to shutting a couple schools down? We're going to get you that information.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You're locked in to the Gatos and Chad Show.
As much as we all want to see the winner on election night in those close races, that's just not going to happen.
Secretary of State Katie Hobbs says there's a lot that goes into tallying up your votes once polls close November 3rd. But she says,
we are focused on being accurate. We will be accurate. The tabulation and everything that goes into it will be secure. And these things take time.
The Secretary of State's office has until December 3rd to finalize election results.
All right. You know, you see a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter and your social media, and they're putting up pictures of them sending their vote in. Katie Hobbs says, we will not have election results the night of. I mean, we should have some.
I'm sure we'll have some, but the entire sign, sealed, and deliver, and especially the presidential side of things, we may not have everything.
Well, I mean, so the difference between, let's take 2016 and 2020. Is the difference the pandemic and that more people would possibly like to stay away from the voting booths, the polls and all that, and just mail it in and there's more to count because we're doing it earlier? I mean, that's probably it. That's the big difference since 2016.
Yeah, it is.
And you probably got more people that are voting too. I mean, more people are going to vote in this election.
You hope so. We always say that every election. Then we get there and it was like, oh, it was only 500 more people. You're like, what? It just feels like it.
It would make sense that more people
are voting. You would think.
Well, and you look at the numbers, though, of people that are registering to vote. They've really been jacked up.
Yeah, they have. They have. They've been jacked up. And here's the thing. They're smaller than the new register to vote in 2016, but those people are still participating. So when you add in how many new registries came in 2016 across the nation as well as here, and then if you add in the new stuff, this thing's going to be – this potentially could be massive as far as things we haven't seen in a while. Because we can be very apathetic in this country when it comes to the elections, especially if it's going to be one-sided.
I think Trump is so polarizing that we're not going to be apathetic.
No.
That you see people already going to the polls and voting. And if there are 7-hour lines 3 weeks before the election, which is what we're seeing in some states, they're not voting for Trump.
No, God, no.
They're not voting for Trump.
No, they're not voting for Trump.
So here's the other side of it. How big will the lines be on election day? Because they're going to be voting for Trump.
They will be voting for Trump. And that is his – I mean, that the reality is people have been saying you're going to get the red mirage the night of – Trump will have the advantage, but come Sunday, after everything's done and dusted, all the absentee, the mail-in ballots have been counted, that the victory will be for Biden. Can it be such a huge night for Trump? Anything's possible, but the sense I get is, he is running out of time. And
he's using old arguments from 2016 about putting Obama in jail. Hillary's emails, That stuff doesn't work anymore.
He did get one right today, though.
What was that?
Steve Scully, the guy that was supposed to host. The guy was supposed to host tonight. The debate.
What?
The debate
on C-SPAN.
Yeah.
So he's one of the. He's the moderator.
He was last week. He said something about like, oh, I don't know who con. You know, my Twitter was hacked because he said this guy's a never Trumper because he had worked some stuff for Biden before in the past. And everybody defended him. And sure enough, he said, oh, I got hacked when there was somebody stuff.
Did he lie?
Yes. He lied. He had been talking to Scaramucci about Trump and how to, you know. So some of that stuff, he gets right. And you only need one or two of those little things to make people go, ah.
I don't think that changes
a single person's vote. No, it's not changing. And you know what? I think that the biggest thing with Trump, it's who he is. At the end of the day, it's who he is.
You either like him or you don't.
There you go.
You're either going to vote for him or you're going to vote against
him. This is a personality contest at this point.
At this point, it is. And I liked what you said yesterday. It looks like Trump's show has a shelf life.
Yep.
And the shelf life has 19 more days, possibly. But it's 2020 and anything can happen. I still think Biden wins, and I still think we're going to probably know that election night. I'm going to go against what everybody else is saying. Coming up next, 21 Phoenix area schools, COVID-19 outbreaks. Does Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction Kathy Hoffman think we can get through the 2020 year without closing down schools? She'll join us next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
A mashup of news, information, and entertainment. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Well, some people are saying it's the second wave of COVID that has hit the country. 35 states are seeing an uptick in Arizona. We had 1,000 cases today. Hadn't had that in a while. We're keeping our eye on the numbers in Arizona. Nothing to be absolutely horrified or scared or what have you yet, but the numbers are going up. 21 Phoenix area schools have reported COVID-19 outbreaks after resuming on-campus instruction. Are we going to be able to finish the year? Let's start with the year. Joining us now is Kathy Hoffman, Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the term outbreak. What does that say? What does that mean to you? There's some confusion about it because, well, an outbreak could mean one or two students or maybe one teacher.
So the definition of an outbreak from our public health officials is two or more cases that are not from the same household. So it is a pretty low number. We have seen cases that are more significant, more severe than that, where we've seen situations where we've had hundreds of kids now in quarantine. So there is a range, but I share your concerns with the numbers starting to tick up. And also in looking at our neighboring states like Utah, Nevada, New Mexico, all starting to see upward trends. So I think we really need to take this seriously and continue to adhere to our mitigation strategies to prevent the spread here in Arizona.
So a scale 1 to 10, 10 meaning you're very worried. 1 is, hey, we're cool, everything's good. How worried are you when you see 21 Phoenix area schools reporting COVID? Between 1 and 10, where do you stand?
That's hard to put a number to it. Probably around a 7. I'm not in any kind of crisis or panic mode. I am worried. I want to point out, though, that not all of our schools in Phoenix or in the state are completely open for in-person learning. We have a lot of districts that are still 100% online only. I just did a school visit yesterday to the Alhambra School District, and they are still 100% online only. Mm. Phoenix Union is another example. So just want to point that out, that not all of our schools are open for in-person learning at this time.
Talking to Kathy Hoffman, Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. Kathy, what power do you have for over any of this? Because it's kind of the district by district thing, isn't it? So you can advise them, but at the end of the day, is a lot of this going to be based on what they feel they need to do, or are you going to have a lot more input?
The true power currently lies with the county health offices, and I strongly urge all of our school boards and school leaders to be in close communication with their local school, with the county health officials, and many of them already are. I've joined some of these meetings where we have superintendents from a region meeting on a regular basis, weekly or monthly, with the county health officials, and that's really where the power lies, because the schools report the positive cases to the county health officials, and they can make that determination of whether or not a school needs to close.
You know, I've got teachers calling me and saying we don't have enough PPE. We don't have enough stuff. And we've got principals, we've got teachers that are going and buying their own stuff for their classrooms. Is that happening from what you hear as well? And how satisfied are you with the schools keeping things as safe as possible?
That is certainly alarming to hear that teachers are buying their own PPE. I have not personally heard of that being a widespread issue. One of the issues I've been more focused on is making sure everyone knows that we still have mask mandates in our schools. That was part of the last executive order that focused on education issues, and that's still in place. And so even if a local county or city reverses and gets rid of their mask mandate, we still have the executive order, which mandates that our students and teachers are wearing masks in the classroom. I've also been focused on the issue of transparency and making sure that our teachers and families are informed and have accurate information from the schools if there are positive cases or an outbreak.
Kathy, I'm sure you're talking to teachers. Are they worried, or do they want to teach? Do they want to stay at home? Is it a mixed bag? Because I think we hear a lot about the uppers, but we don't really hear about the people that are going to be doing the teaching themselves.
There is high variability of what our teachers are feeling, just like our parents right now. There's a lot of different feelings and fears and concerns, and it does often rely heavily on how the district and the school leaders are approaching it and how well they're communicating to their staff and making sure that they have all the supports that they need to be successful. But I've heard a range, just to give you some examples, I've heard teachers share that some of them are thriving, that they love these new opportunities to learn and use different technology. They're connecting with their students and parents in ways that they never did before. And then I've also heard that many of our teachers are also feeling very overwhelmed. They feel even burnt out and we're still fairly early in the school year, and some of them feel burnt out. They have a lot of anxiety, and they're working very long hours, and they've had to shift their whole way of teaching to a whole new platform. And so that's pushing them to be innovative, but at the same time, it can be very overwhelming. And so we are seeing the issue of burnout as well.
How much worse has the teacher shortage in Arizona gotten since COVID?
Unfortunately, the numbers are devastating for me because you know that's something I'm very passionate about.
Right.
So as of the end of August is when we have the best data available. There was a survey put out by the Arizona School Personnel Association, and it's not 100% all schools that report to the survey, but their numbers indicated that at the end of August, that 28% of teaching positions were still vacant. That's almost a third of our teaching positions vacant. And that is horrifying to me. And for teachers that are still teaching, you know, we're seeing larger classroom sizes or other issues when having to combine classes because there are not enough teachers to fill these positions. And a lot of the decline in terms of the number of these and in terms of the numbers of these positions being filled is because of COVID related issues, whether it's a teacher who wants to take care of their own child or children at home, or if they have a pre-existing health condition and they're worried about their own safety, or even their husband or their wife that might have a pre-existing condition. So I've heard a whole range of reasons of why teachers are leaving the profession.
Right.
And again, it's not all of our teachers, thank goodness, but it is very concerning to me.
Well, if you want us to teach, Kathy, Gatos and I are there. We're pretty
thank
good.
So
I know how to Zoom.
Oh, don't thank us. That you should be saying.
Fantastic.
No, don't do that.
I am pretty
I've heard
good
you guys
at it.
On the radio. It's just brutal.
It is. It's going to be spectacular. I'll just let you guys know if you guys need it. Thank you so much for coming on today, and good luck. It sounds like your work, just when you think it might start to smooth out, is going to get a little bit more dicey here. Kathy Hoffman, Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Would be so awesome.
Rooting
if we
for you.
Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome if we taught?
It would.
Just for a day. And then we can nominate each other for...
Like, yeah, text the word teacher to 411-923.
That's it.
If you know a teacher out there.
Yeah. Chad taught me how to gamble. He taught me what a spread was.
$2,500 teacher could win.
Hey, we're going to take this money and we're going to have fun with it, kids.
Thanks,
we'll
Valley
Zoom playing Baccarat.
Hey, Chad taught me how to play craps.
All right. Awesome. Hey, lots of numbers. We're learning, kids.
That's right.
It's always about learning.
Counting cards.
I came with 25. I left with 62.
What does that mean?
And my players' club's filled up.
Make
we got
sure
a free trip
out.
Next weekend. What?
Coming up next, should a grandfather go to jail because of a cruise ship accident involving his granddaughter? Stick around.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Drive home with the Gatos and Chad Show.
Our thanks to Kathy Hoffman, Arizona State Superintendent of Public Instruction. I got a lot from the interview.
Yeah. Look, she's
trying hard.
There's not a lot she can do. I mean, she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. She can't really enforce anything because the districts will have it. Then at the same time, while she can converse with people and try her best and try to find the matrix that fits the things that she needs for the people that she works for, which for all intents and purposes, that's the teachers. At the end of the day, you know, then you got the counties themselves. They're going to have a say in all of this. So she is it's tough. She got an uphill battle.
Well, I think the one thing that I took from the interview is, how worried are you?
A 7, right?
A 7 out of 10.
But she says not that bad. Maybe she starts at a 5, though. You know, some people are already in that 5 and 6. They start at the worry.
Maybe. That's probably where I start.
Yeah, that's totally.
That's it. You started a 1.
I started a 1.
You're a minus 4.
People ask me, how worried are you? I'm like, a negative 7 right now.
Well, I think when you have 21 Phoenix area schools reporting COVID outbreaks, we've got to make sure that we're careful when we talk about the word outbreak.
Yeah.
Because she explained it, like, what is the term outbreak? What exactly does it mean? It's like,
it's not like there's 500 kids on the campus that got it.
It could be two students or staff who don't live in the same house or have any close contact with each other. That could be called an outbreak. But I am continuing to look at what's happening, not only in Arizona, but across the country when it comes to COVID. And the numbers are going up. And the numbers today in Arizona were 1,000. That's a really bad number. Now, maybe tomorrow we go back to 400. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But I know we haven't seen numbers like that in a while.
It has been a while. When's the last time in your trusty little, you keep look. So many of these, this for those of you guys who don't know, since this thing has started, if you're new to the Gatos and Chad Show,
that's awesome.
He has kept every single day record of this. I'm going to say we probably haven't seen that since August.
So 1,113 cases today. We haven't seen that since, here's the thing, we haven't seen that since September 18th, where there were 1,200 cases.
But was that weird thing where they had the new testing and they put it all together? So I didn't count that.
That doesn't count. Yeah. I agree with you.
Because the next day it was like back down to 200 or 300, right? Something small.
Antigen tests were included in that day.
Yeah.
Let's say, okay, that one doesn't count. I'm with you. We can go all the way back to the beginning of September when we had, on the 3rd of September, 1,000 cases. 1,000 cases. And that day, that actually broke a 21-day streak with cases under 1,000. So you'd have to go back, let's say, September 3rd.
If you're Ducey, and you have more days like this, do you at least come out and address it and have one of your well, with him, you would think.
You have to address it.
He kind of gives up on the, you know, he didn't like this stuff.
He's got it. And again, we're just looking at one day. That was 1,000. Yesterday was 900, though. The day before, 600. The day before, 475. So there's nothing to get, you know, no one should be a 10 right now. But the governor should come out if the cases continue to go up and at least tell us he knows what's going on, and then we make some plans. Doesn't mean you shut anything down.
No, and I don't think he will.
I don't think he should, and I don't think he will.
I don't think we can. I don't think we can afford it.